Welcome to the Don't You Worry podcast. We're your hosts, Briley and Britton Caldwell, and we're here to say don't you worry through stories, encouragement, and joy. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's conversation. What's up, everybody? We are back with the Don't You Worry podcast. It's your favorite host, Britton, and it feels so weird not saying Briley and Britton. Now, guys, if you've been following us on Instagram, we have been posting that we're going to have a big announcement coming. Now, I know what you're all thinking, and I know you're probably all celebrating, but don't get your streamers out yet. We're not losing Briley as a co-host. This is just temporary. She's just a little busy this weekend.
That's such a sister comment. That's so sister of you.
Anyway, if you're not following us on Instagram, follow us everywhere. We do have a big announcement coming soon. I'm not going to give you any hints to that, but it's going to be a good announcement. Okay. It's going to be a good drop.
So today's episode is a little different.
Okay. I actually don't know what we're going to do right now.
Right.
So I had this whole thing planned out when Briley was like, hey, can you just have dad come on the podcast? I can't do it this week. And so I had this entire notes page filled out and I was reading it to you and you just came out of the blue last minute and you were like, hey, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we're doing.
I will say it was a great episode that you had worked out together.
Appreciate it.
It was really well thought out. It was planned really well. However, I think that you are a planner. Right.
Yeah,
you are of you and Briley.
Yes.
You are much more the planner than she is, right? And so
as a Christmas gift to Briley, I gave her a planner because I have my life together
she needs to get it planned. Exactly. So you were both so different. And so I thought, well, instead of going through this whole scripted out plan thing, I'm more of I'll plan and plan and plan, but then I like to just get in the moment, right? And so I wanted to ask you a couple questions. So this may be a really short episode. It could be long.
All right.
We're early on
We could be here for 2 hours, actually.
We could. But I want to ask you just a couple of things. So in seasons of life, we learn different things. We experience different things. And so I want to know, like, what is this season of life for Britton Caldwell? What does it look like? How would you sum it up? What would you say this season of life is?
It honestly looks like so many different things. I kind of think of it as a mixture of busy and yet chill at the same time. You know, it's the end of the school year and getting close to summer. I'm ready to be out of school. Everybody is. And so we've kind of gotten to the point where we finished some testing and we finished kind of our end of year activities and we're going deeper into that the next few weeks. And so we're working hard still just trying to finish out the semester. But at the same time, it's like nobody wants to do anything and we're all just kind of there at school. So it's kind of a busy chill season with that, but it's also been a season of kind of like hustle for me right now with dance. We have a recital coming up in a few weeks and that always looks crazy. You know, you're trying to finish all of your recital dances and you're trying to make sure you've got all the right moves for your dances and you know it and you're ready for dress rehearsal, for anything that could go wrong, for all your costumes, everything.
Well, I was asking in the truck about that specifically. What does it look like to get ready for a rehearsal
or a recital?
I was almost said rehearsal. Rehearsal is what you do
to get ready. A recital.
I guess my question is, so you know, you do this stuff all year. So you train these things for months, right?
Yeah.
How long have you been learning dances for this specific recital?
Probably since the beginning of 2025. It really just depends, like since I got back from Christmas break or winter break, it really just depends on the teacher. One of my teachers, she loves to get things started early. So then if she can try out some different moves with us and be like, okay, I actually hate that. Let's change that. So it's not last minute, we're trying to cram all these things in.
Yeah.
But then there's another one of my teachers who she knows exactly what she's going to do. So she's preparing us skill-wise even longer. So then when she throws us in the dance, we just get it done and boom, we're good.
Okay. So to me, that it was a lot of difficulty understanding that because I'm not a dancer, right? So you start learning a dance in January. So,
sure. Yeah.
So let's just make this as simple as possible.
Okay.
Because I think in everything, there's a principle that we can learn, right? And so what are you learning in your season right now? So let's look at dance and see what it is that you're experiencing. So you started learning
like
a dance.
It's going to be like a council session on camera.
maybe.
That's what I need.
I have been known to do that a few times, right?
Clearly.
So if you start learning a dance in January, How long does it take you to learn the actual dance? So you got to learn all the moves, mm-hmm. right? The choreography of the dance.
Yeah.
Does that take, because it's been, so is that 5 months long? Or, because we're in the fifth month mm-hmm. now, does it take a full 5 months to learn the dance? Or, like, are you still learning new parts of dances? Or do you already know your dances?
I think I know all of my dances, but there are some dances that are still learning stuff.
So you got to get this season right before recital that you have to, what would you, is it, you could say, you call it cleaning up. So you clean up the dance. What does that mean?
So basically it's kind of, I would say 4 months that we're really learning it mm-hmm. for a couple of my specific classes. We're just going to say that there's a lot that goes into that, but just to keep it simple, we're just going to say it takes about 4 months.
Thank you.
And so anyway, after you learn all of your moves and you know your eight counts, you know whatever the actual steps to do mm-hmm. during your song or whatever, and it kind of depends on how long the song is and if you need to cut stuff out, whatever.
Yeah.
So you learn all the moves, and then for the next few weeks before recital, you're cleaning the dance. So that kind of means you know all the skills, but are you doing them on the correct foot? Are you on the right leg? Are you together? Because nothing is good. Like if I'm doing a dance move here and my friend is doing the same dance move, but they're off sync, nobody wants to watch that. That's chaos. Sure. So we're trying to get everything organized, and which I love organization, it's really just a time for us to kind of, I don't really know how to like recalibrate, almost like just take a minute and be like, okay, here's our dance. Mm-hmm. And what do we need to do? When do we need to do it? When are your dances? What costumes do you need? What order are your dances in? What quick changes do you need to do? And you have to think about, okay, what in this dance needs work? Because there's everything. There's a point in every dance that always needs work. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not perfect. So there's different moves. You know, one person will do this, or like, hey, Britton, you're on the wrong leg. You put the wrong arm up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you have to think about, okay, how can I get better at these skills to be better in the dance? So like I have to do, you know, some jumps and some turns and whatever. And obviously they're like crazy spinning in the air and whatever. Mm-hmm. And you have to make sure that you know that skill, so then you can do that actually on the stage and be confident in it. And you know, and then you're working on, especially with this like cleaning period, you're mm-hmm. working on your facial expression. There are so many times that dance teachers are like, you look miserable. Do you even want to be here? Like one of my dance teachers, she always says, like, don't be ashamed when you walk out on that stage. Like, don't walk on the stage with your head down. Like, oh, am I doing this right move? Don't look confused. Look confident. No. Even if you mess up, if you look confident, people don't notice. Like, you don't know all my dances.
Right.
You're out in the crowd. I've shown you some of my videos of like stuff I do in class or whatever, but you specifically do not know what dance moves I need to do,
right.
Which you can tell if I mess up in a group of like 50 people.
If everybody's doing the same move mm-hmm. and you do a different move, I'm going to assume it's probably
know,
not the right move.
But you know, I mean, with some of my classes, there's only like four girls in that class. Mm-hmm. And I have like some dances, like I said, with four girls, and it's like me and one girl will be doing something and then two other girls will be doing something.
Okay.
And so it's kind of in group wise. So it's, you really have to be coordinated with your specific person. You know, me and one other girl have a solo together, and you know, I guess that's not a solo if you're doing
duet,
a duet together, and we do the same move, but we're doing it and we have to make sure we're in sync, and then we have to know our moves, and that's what cleaning is.
Yeah. Well, and I guess you really want a duet to look like one solo, right?
You do.
You're relying on the other person. You're trusting them.
Yes.
And you're trying to make it look really good. Because we've talked before, you know, after a recital or something, we would watch and you would say, I messed up four times. And we're like, what are you talking about? I never noticed any of it because, you know, you're like, well, I was supposed to do a full turn and I only did a quarter turn. I'm like, what? I don't even know what that means.
And then
like,
there's a thing where your headpiece falls out on stage and mom comes up to me afterwards and she's like, so your little tiara fiasco. And I was like, don't even mention it.
yeah. And those are, we understand that those things happen, right? The malfunction
but
or whatever.
But we try to avoid those things.
Yeah. Part of that is in the cleaning period
exactly.
too.
Exactly. During
assume.
Dress rehearsal, we're like, okay, does everybody have bobby pins? Does everybody have safety pins? Make sure your belt is not flinging open.
Yeah. You never know. It's because it's, the pressure that's in that moment. It's a little bit of a wild journey, but I wonder, you made a statement that I really loved, and that was, don't be ashamed when you go on the stage. Mm-hmm. So Do you think you're less ashamed when you go on the stage after the rigorous cleanup and the rigorous dancing and the skills and the training and the all that you've prepared? Why would a teacher say not to be ashamed to go on stage? Because I'm assuming nobody's really ashamed. If you've put in all that work, mm-hmm. I mean, you've put in months and months and months of work. Why would anybody be ashamed, right? Why would a teacher even have to say that?
Honestly, I mean, I really don't know when you put it like that. But when you think about it, every time, I know this is specifically for recital, every time I do my first dance, whether it's an opening number or just a specific first dance, mm-hmm. I will go on that stage so nervous at first. And then after that first dance, I'm good. I got it. But I think it's also just making sure that during this time period when we've learned our dance, some girls in, like, I am not the best dancer in all of my classes. In some, I'm older than some of those girls. I've been dancing longer than a few of those girls. Yeah. I've learned certain skills, and it's like you can tell there's different talents. It's not that, oh, you're better than this person as a full dancer, but, you know, there's some girls that you have different skill sets. So it's like some girls may be really good at turns. There's one girl in my class that can whip out 50 turns in a row. I am not one of those people. Do not ask me to do that. So there's different skill sets. And when you think about it, when you're trying to go out on a stage and there's moves that you struggle with and that are challenging for you, then it's like, I don't want to mess up because I have put in a lot of work and my dance teacher has put in 10 times that amount of work.
Sure.
She's planned out this entire recital. She's planned out the theme of it. She's done these specific dance, choreographed them, and she's poured into me more than I could ever ask her for. And I mm-hmm. want to make her proud and know that I've been working and this is what I'm trying to do. So you want to make sure that she's proud of you. And when you think, oh, I'm not as good at this turn, or oh, I fell down when I tried this move or whatever, then you walk out on that stage and you're like, okay, I have to do this. And there's a lot of pressure. And I think it just kind of like, you just want to curl up and be like, okay, I have to focus. And then you forget some of the things, like just present yourself, like just go out there, raise your, like put your shoulders back, raise your head up high and just do it because you know it and you should be confident, but you have to know that you can do it. You just have to, even if you mess up, it's okay.
Yeah. One of the problems I have is,
You have a problem?
Really? So shocking, I know. One of the problems I have is I see spiritual things in everything people say.
Oh, gosh.
And I know as you were saying stuff, there was spiritual principles in your head,
yeah.
Right? You know, the things you talked about just now, even the way I asked the question of why would a dance instructor ever say, don't walk out onto that stage ashamed, we, as Christians, as believers, we show up to church, we show up to youth group, we show up to camp, we show up to D-Now, we show up to whatever. We get super excited, and we then put in some training, right? We put in some training in the Word. We put in some training in some worship. We put in some training in encouraging one another. And then we go to school or to our jobs or to wherever, and we look ashamed,
right? Yeah.
It's like, we've done all this training, all this prep, all this, you know, I've listened to podcasts. I've tried to encourage myself. I've listened to worship music all the way to school. I've done this. And you're walking around ashamed. It's like, what are you doing? What is going on? And the whole time,
doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And the whole time, even you talking about like your teacher has put in all this work for you and set this up for you. And as does the Lord for us, right? He puts in all this work, sets all this up for us.
You do it.
He's put in this incredible, I mean, we live in a time, people are listening to this on devices that weren't invented 20 years ago, 10
You're
years
so
ago.
Old.
I know, and it's an old thing to say. But
yeah, it is.
We live in a time right now that 100 years ago, this avenue is not even possible.
Yeah.
And yet we've got this avenue at our fingertips. It is amazing. We have so many things available to us, so many ways to get encouraged, and yet we don't think about going out onto the stage of life and making our teacher proud, right? Making our Lord proud, making the one who has brought the encouragement to us. I had asked you earlier today, and I want to know, like checking in, like what is it God has been teaching you? What's something that stuck out to you in the last couple of weeks or months or whatever that you remember out of the scripture, or maybe something that you were taught, something you read, something you heard, What's something that's been standing out to you in the last couple of weeks?
Okay, recently, I think it was, yeah, you preached this on a Sunday morning, and I think it was really recent too, but the first two times that love, the word love, is mentioned in the Bible is from Abraham to his son Isaac. That's the first time yep. Abraham loves his son Isaac.
Yep.
And then the second time it goes straight from Isaac loves his bride. And then that connects with God loves his son Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus loves his bride, which is the church. And I was like, when you said that, my brain just clicked. Yeah. And I'm thinking, what?
Yeah, that's awesome. I love to discover things out of God's word. And so it took me for that sermon, I studied for probably 50, 60 hours, something like that. And it's a lot of time, but mm-hmm. it's also fun for me because during the study of that sermon, there was also two other things that came out of that, right? So I've also got a Wednesday night thing prepared, and I did a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning breakfast for some men in the community and did a couple of different things. So studying for 50 hours for a sermon sounds like, oh my goodness, that's so much time to put in this. But God used all 50 hours for mm-hmm. something. But in the middle of that, whenever I discovered the first time the Hebrew word for love is in the Bible was 22 chapters in until it was Genesis chapter 22, whenever Abraham and Isaac, the whole thing yeah. on Mount Moriah. And so he says, take your son whom you love. First time the Hebrew word is in there. And again, to me, I thought, oh my goodness, the first time God even mentions love in the Bible is about how much he loves his son, how much a father loves a son. That is beautiful, right? It's a picture that then you step back to the whole picture of the Bible and you're like, this is amazing. Like, this is awesome. Yeah. First time God mentions true love, he talks about the love of his father to the son. And then I thought, I was reading through the rest of that chapter and I thought, surely the word love is going to be in here again. And it wasn't. And I thought, this is weird. And so I keep reading. It's a couple chapters later.
Because then you've got in the New Testament and it's like, love is patient. Love yeah. is kind. Love, exactly. love, 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 love.
Yeah, there's so much. Like, yeah,
365 like times. Whole,
yeah, exactly. Over and over and over and over yeah. again. And so I was reading. I thought, I had to go a couple more chapters. And I saw the next time that word was used in the Hebrew language was Isaac. Whenever he gets married to he loved his bride. Mm. And I thought the first time you see this father to his son, the second time the son to his bride. And, you know, I always say the Old Testament is concealed truth. The New Testament is revealed truth, right? So what did it mean in the Old Testament when those were the first two times? Well, it meant God had to love for us and his son loved us so much mm-hmm. that he cares for us. And the love of a husband to his bride is an eternal love that keeps going. And I think, when I experience that in my study time, you know, I wish you all could get in my brain a little bit sometimes.
I don't.
Because as I'm reading,
it's got to be scary in there.
It is very scary. But as I'm reading, I thought, there is no way this is real. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm thinking, surely I've missed this. There's no way this is how in the world. And I am.
Spends another hour reading through the entire book yeah. of Genesis.
Exactly. And I thought, what's the next time it's used, right? Let's see. And I go through reading. And it's so many things. And this is why I think I tell people all the time, study the word, study the Bible. And I know you and Briley, and I know you read the Bible and you listen to me preach all the time. And you know, we have our counseling sessions in our house. Yeah. The whole
every
thing.
Every night.
And all the time, you know, we're talking and talking and talking. But I'm so fascinated by God's word. And if I could encourage you, you know, because you were telling me how things that God's been revealing to you recently, you know, the whole Bible's connected. It's a connected story, right? It's all good. Like all of it is good. And if I could encourage you in one thing, I would say, don't neglect the reading of the word. You may not find it all, right? You're going to say, well, yeah, but you know, you see all these incredible, awesome things. Well, I also spent 50 hours. You don't have 50 hours available, right? I have a job that allows me to study the word. And so I spend a lot of time doing that. I have to do other things too. I mean, I didn't just read the Bible that one week, right? I had to do other things, but I got to read a lot. I read early and late. But I would encourage you, I would encourage everybody, the more you can get in the word, the more you know the word, the better you're going to be for it every time. And that's one of the reasons why I keep asking you and Briley both, you know, what are you learning right now? Because God is always teaching. He's always teaching you something, even if it's something about dance, even if it's something about, you know, this illustration of a dance instructor being proud of their dancer and their dancer not being ashamed when they get on stage. And I think it all, everything connects to back to the Lord, and the Lord connects himself into the word, and it's always, always good. It's always good. What else is the Lord teaching you right now?
I think something that was really cool on a Wednesday night, we were talking about how God is a mountain mover. Mm-hmm. And we kind of went through a mountain mover series. And the first week that you did it, I've always loved Matthew 17:20. If you have faith like a mustard seed, mm-hmm. you can move mountains.
Yeah.
And that's always been one of my favorite verses. And you revealed something through like that I didn't realize before. And so you said how you looked up what is a mustard seed, because it's not that your faith should be small and you can do tons of things with it. It's not about the size of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I just thought the verse was, like you can have small faith and you can still move a giant mountain.
Yeah.
But you actually did the study time and you thought, okay, what is a mustard seed? What's the significance of the mustard seed? And a mustard seed specifically, you don't see it. You plant it and you whatever, water it, feed it. I don't know what you do to seed. I'm not a like gardener or anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, you do whatever you do to
you
make
plant
it grow.
And water
yeah,
it, yeah,
you
it
do
takes
everything.
Care of yeah.
So, but you don't really see the outcome on top until a while. But you don't realize underneath all that time when you're just waiting to see it sprout up, it's growing its roots deep into the dirt. So far down, and it's really doing all the things that nobody can see on the surface.
Yeah.
And really, when you have a faith like that, like a mustard seed, so a mustard seed, you have your faith, then again it connects.
Yeah,
so you have faith and you do the things that nobody sees you do. So you have quiet time, you're praying to the Lord in your bedroom, or you're reading the word and not going and bragging about it. Like, hey, I did a Bible study the other week and you didn't, so I'm better than you. So it's not like you're going and proclaiming it to the world that you're better and you're doing all these things with the Lord. You're having it your own time. So then you can share that with others. You can then, it just comes out naturally. So like, you know, you'll be in a conversation with somebody and that thought will pop into your head of a verse you read the other day. Then you share that with them and that makes an impact on their life that you didn't know could happen.
Yeah.
And you might not see that either. That may be their mustard seed moment. What really stuck out to me about that, not just the message about the specific mustard seed, which that stuck out to me too, but it's the fact that God didn't just happen to be like, oh, a mustard seed can do all these things. Let me relate that back to faith. He made the mustard seed. He made everything that... He made things in our daily lives that we know about or that we can look up, because I wouldn't know that about a mustard seed, but I can totally look that up.
We're not big gardeners.
Exactly.
At the Caldwell House.
Yeah. So don't try to come over here. Anyway, but he made things specifically that we encounter in our everyday lives that then we can relate to, and he put them in the Bible so then we can know a deeper truth within that. And I think that's just so cool about how intentional God does everything. And like even the ways that I've read in the scripture, how he created the animals and then he created mankind, and how mankind is so different. And there's just the way that God's hand is on everything, and just the creativity and just how articulate everything is. It's so cool how he can create things that we know, like a mustard seed, or like in Psalm 128 about children being the olive shoots, or the mother of a home being the vine, or whatever it may be in scripture. There's lots of them out there, not just those, but whatever it may be, then we know about those things. And so then we can understand the deeper truth that then reveals him more to us.
It's absolutely beautiful. Yeah. I love that the mustard seed thing, because it's about an act of faith, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can't see what a mustard seed is doing under the ground. And I think you're exactly right. And I think a lot of people try to have a very visible faith. And visible faith isn't existent if there's not underground faith, right? The faith that happens under the soil, as opposed to the fruit that comes. A mustard seed cannot be a fruit-bearing mustard plant if it has no roots. It can't.
Yeah.
We can't be effective if we don't have a solid root system. And you're exactly right. It's reading the word when nobody sees it. It's with praying when nobody sees it. It's, you know, praying and not posting about it.
Yeah.
Which is not even possible, right? You have to post
exactly.
about it.
Exactly.
You
got to post your Bible verse and tag people.
Exactly. Post your picture of the Bible and your coffee and your stuff and your Instagram faith. But I think you're right. What the Lord's been revealing to me is a lot of those same things right now that it's like, dig a little deeper and find something a little bit richer. You know, keep digging a little bit more. You know, we think we experience something God does. It's like, linger there for just a minute. See if he reveals himself in any other fashion, or if he lets you in on a little bit deeper secret.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes God's got like secrets with me.
Yeah.
He's like, as he shows something to me and I'm reading it and I'm like, oh, that's a good one, Lord. Like, that's good. I like that. I wouldn't have those moments if I wasn't growing underground, right? Mm-hmm. I preached not too long ago about every tree grows in two directions.
Yeah.
Up and everybody sees it, down and nobody sees it.
Yeah.
And
down is what's dirty and nobody wants to see it. Like, nobody is just going to sit around watching that. You're going to see, what does that produce? You don't want to just look at roots growing.
Exactly. Like, you want to see the fruit and the colors and the leaves and all those things. And that's non-existent if there is no root system.
Yeah.
I think that sums up the Christian faith a lot, because you go through a trial and you're going to burn up and burn out and all that stuff if you don't have a good root system. And I'm glad. If I can tell you this, I'm proud and I'm glad to know that the Lord's teaching you these things now as a freshman in high school, because I think the longer you can grow in the Lord, the better everybody's going to be for it. And, you know, I've said before, as olive shoots around the table, as you just said in Psalm 128, they're olive shoots. They don't produce anything for the first several years, but once they start producing, they produce for generations.
Yeah.
I want our family to produce for generations. I want you to produce for generations. And I think learning and recognizing what God's doing today is what will get us there. So thank you. Thank you for being an incredible podcast host.
Thank you for being on my podcast. I thought that's what you were about to say. I was like, this is my podcast. This is not yours.
I know it's your podcast. I'm not trying to steal any thunder.
No.
I'm not stealing any thunder at all. None. So anyway, you can wrap up if you want.
Yeah, okay.
Know.
Well,
is that good?
Thank you guys for joining us. That was, that was great. I loved all of the surprises that you gave me.
You did really good for not being able to organize at all.
Thank you.
You know, maybe got you out of the box. Got you out of the box. I got you out of the Britain box for a little while. Yeah, yeah.
It's nice out here. Yeah. Anyway, so join us back next week when Briley comes back for another great episode.